Among Benjamin Franklin's many gifts to Philadelphia and the nation, fire companies, lightning rods, bifocals, the University of Pennsylvania, the American Philosophical Society, founded in 1743, is one of his rarer gems. Despite the large statue of Franklin above the main entrance, many people may unknowingly walk right past the centuries-old society, which is discreetly housed in a neoclassical building in Old City. But today's public has access to a museum, just across Fifth Street, which has, for just over a decade, been the Society's public face, presenting exhibitions and performances that explore the intersection of science and the humanities. In a new exhibition called Tempus Fugit, the Chicago-based conceptual artist Antonia Contro gives a fresh perspective to some of the American Philosophical Society's holdings by juxtaposing them in a newly created installation that, as you'll hear, is viewed to a soundtrack of the pages of a book being rapidly fanned. APS Museum founding director Sue Ann Prince says Contro selected the featured objects for their aesthetic and poetic qualities rather than for their historic significance.
Since 2003, actually, she's been pursuing a project about knowledge and the book. And so part of her installation includes this soundtrack that is playing continuously. It sometimes goes very quiet, and other times you really hear the rustling of the pages.
Tell me the genesis of this exhibition then, because it basically is newly created works that reflect and respond to artifacts here in the museum.
Yes, some are newly created and some come from this project she's been working on. And I have been doing artistic projects here at the museum for many years. We've had over 20 commissioned artistic projects in music, art, dance, visual art, and so forth. This time I decided to have the artist actually come in and help make the selection of objects from the collection to put with some work she'd already made in this project she's been working on since 2003, but also to do new work inspired by our collections.
In many museums, 90% of the artifacts are in the basement. What's the situation here, or what was she allowed to see?
Well, she could really have access to anything that was in our collections. Now, given that we have 11 million manuscripts, along with a lot of books and a lot of objects, we don't obviously have everything on view at any one time. It was really based on her interests and what kinds of things she wanted to see. And actually, one of the researchers at the museum helped her a lot to direct her in the library to finding the kinds of works that she was thinking about using.
Let's look then, because we're presented with 9 different cases and a projection on the wall. What are we seeing?
You're seeing what I think is a beautiful installation, which was designed in part by the artist. It was her vision to have the cases look the way they do, so she had very demanding criteria for each one. And if you'll notice, there are no labels. That's unusual for us. We normally do historical exhibitions, and we have a lot of content in our labels. She really hopes that people will be inspired to look and make some of their own connections. And then, of course, we have a guide that does give people clues and does give people information about the objects. But in this first case, for instance, which has a book by Joseph Priestley, who was a well-known chemist and natural philosopher, in the late 18th and early 19th centuries, we have a book on view here that is actually closed, which is so interesting. In it is one of the very first graphic timelines, because up until the Enlightenment, nobody really visualized time graphically, which is so interesting. We think we're used to seeing a timeline, right? And you kind of divide things up, and you can grasp it intellectually much more quickly if you have that image rather than just a bunch of memorized words. So this was not the very first one. There was a Frenchman that did one before him, but it was the first one that actually fit into a book. It is a fold-out. So what she did was we closed the book because for conservation reasons, we could not open it. So she has inserted the ends, and she has reproduced the graphic timeline by Priestley, and then you see it extending on and on and on and rolled out. So it's all about the flow of time, sort of through a scroll. One side becomes just a short fold-out of the book. So it's really quite fascinating the way that she dealt with what could have been a major drawback, which was that we couldn't really show the book open.
And very authentic looking it is. You've talked about the number of art exhibitions that have taken place here in the American Philosophical Society Museum. What's the object of creating art around the artifacts that are here?
When I came early on, part of my task was, in conjunction with others, to establish a mission for the museum. And the mission is to explore the intersections of history, art, and science. And of course, you can do that in many different ways. One of the ways I've done it is to commission contemporary artistic projects to go with each show. Sometimes it's inside the exhibition, sometimes it's outdoors. It can be whatever. It can be a performance, music, all of those things we've commissioned here. And the purpose is to see the historical objects through a contemporary lens. And also, the other part of the mission of the museum is to make the historical objects relevant to today's world. So there's normally a connection, a very strong connection to some issues today in the world today, that then the historical objects can perhaps give us a perspective on what's happening today, and the contemporary perspective can show us something about the objects from the past.
When we walked into the room, we did that typical supermarket psychology thing of moving to our left to begin. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, this is an exhibition about how time elapses. Do we have to approach this exhibition linearly, chronologically? Can we just go from one case to the other as we like? Is it necessary to go from left to right, as we, or maybe I instinctively did?
No, it's really not necessary at all, because the last case, if you do go from left to right, has the, I believe, the earliest object in the show in it, which is a book of hours, and with it, a video by the artist of book pages being turned. And then, of course, if you stand here, and when the sound piece gets to the place where you're hearing the rustling of pages, you're really juxtaposing a very old book from the 15th century, a beautiful illuminated manuscript of Book of Hours. It was for devotional prayer for certain times of day, for certain times of year, and so forth, with a very contemporary video by an artist that's encased in this parchment. Parchment is a very old medium which the book is made out of, and so her large parchment here, inside of which is inserted this video, gives you a very contemporary take. And the notion of turning pages, it takes time to read. She has a little bit of a nostalgic or wistful reverence for the book form, such as we've always known it until recently, now that it's becoming digital. I think that's very interesting, because you get a sense of that in her reverence for the book. And it used to be that books themselves, in and of themselves, the paper was beautiful. It was quite an experience to turn the pages. It was an aesthetic quality and sensory quality to it, which is different in the digital age. So you have both a contemporary viewpoint from which to think about it, and something coming from the past that was a book of hours denoting time.
American Philosophical Society Museum founding director Sue Ann Prince. Tempus Fugit is at the APS Museum through December.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.